Amen. Ain't it good to be in God's house? Amen. It's so such a blessing to be able to come and to be around God's people. And Lord have mercy. I bless the Lord for what we've already seen and felt here this evening. Amen. I pray a lot. Look here, that necklace is still here. No, we'll auction it. I don't want it. Amen. Listen, it was a joy. I go to church a lot of times, and before a service, I'll pray and I'll ask God to show us things we've never seen before. Let us hear things we've never heard before. Let us feel something we never felt before. That happened right up yonder a while ago. Amen. Wasn't that choir something? Amen. I told somebody coming out of the choir, I said, I don't know how it sounded, but it sure did feel good. But I appreciate that. And I want to say Pleasant Grove, man, I love y'all. Appreciate you from the depths of our heart, making us feel welcome, making us feel like one of you. Amen. I know I can probably attest for an answer for some of these other preachers. There's a lot of times you go somewhere and preach, and you feel like a total stranger. You don't feel like a whole, you got a real good welcome. But boy, y'all just made me feel just my family. I appreciate my family being here with us tonight. A couple nights we all got to be able to be together. But I sure do appreciate you loving on us. Amen. I do, from the depths of my heart, want to say thank you. Maple Springs, I want to say thank you for being here tonight. I love all y'all. Thank you for praying for us this week. And it's just a blessing. My goodness, it just seems like just a day before yesterday we started this meeting, and here we are on Friday night. Amen. But ain't God been good? Amen. God surely has been good. Amen. Jeremiah chapter number 9. If you got your Bibles tonight, Jeremiah chapter number 9. I want to say this. I got to get this off my chest right here. There's a lot of times in our lives as parents, we wonder if we've done a good job raising our children. Look back on our life and say, I wonder if anything I'd done was a help to my children. I wonder if they learned anything in life. And then a little while ago, that question popped into my mind when y'all got ready to take up an offering. Luke turned around and said, Daddy, if I put a little something in that offering, can I get it back when I get home? I said, what a failure. Hey, Lord. Hey, Lord help. He did. That's my boys, man. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now I got that out there. Some of you smiling. You ain't cracked a smile since you got here. You ain't showed no kind of emotion. But now you're alive. Amen. Amen. Ain't it good to be able to laugh and enjoy life? Amen. This life's too short to sit around like a stick in the mud. Amen. Amen. There's a time to be happy and a time to cry. There's a time to live and a time to die. Read your Bible in Ecclesiastes. There's a time for everything. Amen. But right now it's time to get down to business. Amen. Jeremiah chapter number 9, if you found your place, I'd like to ask you if you're physically able to stand. And if you're not, we absolutely understand that. But in Jeremiah chapter number 9, I want you to mark your place right there. I have to turn back one page. I want to set a little foundation right here and show you where we're at and show you a few things in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 9 is where we're going to pick up and read a couple of verses. But I want you to go back to Jeremiah chapter 6. And kind of see where we're at in the book of Jeremiah in a time that we're living right here in the Bible. The Bible says in Jeremiah 6, verse 16, very familiar passage of Scripture, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and that don't mean stand in the way. Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, whereas that's the good way. And the Lord says, when you find it, I want you to walk therein. And he said, if you'll walk therein, you shall find rest for your soul. Amen. Why, you'd have to be out of your mind not to crawl up in the path that you're going to find rest for your soul. But you know what they said? We ain't going to do it. That ain't King James Version. King James says, we will not walk therein. We will not walk in that path that promises us rest for our soul. We're going to keep living the way we want to live. Then verse 17, the Bible says, also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But you know what they said? We ain't going to listen to it. Friend, if that's a place we're at in this day and hour we're living, I ain't never seen it. Amen. Talked about that once this week, I believe it was, and all it was this week, talking about over our nameless, about how there was going to be a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. And not the preaching of it. There's plenty of preaching. But I think we ought to listen to the trumpet when it sounds. Get in the old path and walk therein. Amen. Even though there's a crowd of people in the Bible and there's a crowd of people today, I sure am glad to know tonight, Brother Brady, on a Friday night, we are elbow to elbow in here with some folks that like the old time way. And you've decided to just stay on the old-time way, and you're going to walk therein, and you know you're going to find rest for your weary soul. Well, anyhow, I got to get on. Flip on over there, and that's where we're at right here. Well, in chapter 7 right there, I want you to look how this chapter starts. Chapter 7 in verse number 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, I want you to stand in the gate of the Lord's house, and proclaim there this word. The Lord says, here's what I want you to tell them. He said, I want you to say, hear the word of the Lord, all you Judah that enter into at the house, at these gates to worship the Lord. And you read on down through that, and I'm not going to read all that for time's sake, but the Lord is a-laying and working through Jeremiah, and he's telling them how they ought to be living, the way you're living ain't the way you ought to be living, it's the way you ought to be. And he just points out also, you go read it for homework, points out all sorts of things like deceitfulness and idolatry, adultery and lying, all sorts of things that we find there. But then verse 22 in chapter 8, I'm getting out of here, I'm hurrying. I know we're going to eat in a few minutes. I'm going to hurry. Chapter 8, look at the last verse. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? I sure am glad to know tonight. I know that balm in Gilead. I know we've got a great physician. Amen. And I don't know what your hurt is tonight. I don't know what your pains and woes are this evening. But I know somebody can help you. Amen. I want to back up and hit that one more time. I don't know what you drug in here with you tonight, but baby, you ain't got to take it home with you. You can get help for whatever there is because the great physician's here. Now look at verse 9, or chapter 9, verse 1. Here's where my text is. I'm hurrying. Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Jeremiah's heart's broke. Then verse 2, the Bible says, oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers and an assembly of treacherous men. Father, I love you and I thank you, God, for the privilege of one more time, God, we've come to stand and preach the Word of God. Lord, tonight we cannot function without an unction of the Holy Ghost of God. And I confess before these people and I confess before you, Lord, I need you tonight. Lord, I don't want to try to do anything on my own in my flesh. I'll be a failure. I'm asking you, Lord, to touch us from the top of our head, Lord, to the soles of our feet. Give us, Lord, exactly we, everyone, stand in need of tonight. Lord, I'll take my hands off your glory and give it all unto you right now. God, for heaven's sake, we ask you, Lord, to come by and do something mighty for us here on this Friday night. Thank you for these people that have sacrificed their time, come down here to the house of God. But, dear Lord, please, don't let neither one of us leave the same way we come. Help us, God, to get exactly what we need as we get ready to face this world. I love you. Thank you for all you're doing, all you're going to do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Now here's where we're at in chapter number 9. As I read in your text, Jeremiah, he sees the sins and the backslidden condition of God's people. Jeremiah says, man, there's so much junk going on back over yonder in them other chapters. And you look back in chapter number 7, you read about how that these people's hardened their neck and they've just gotten a real bad way in Jeremiah chapter 7, 8, 9, well, 6, 7, 8, leading up to chapter number 9. And Jeremiah, what Jeremiah's saying in verse number 2, though God began to deal with my heart, Jeremiah said in verse number 2, he said, it'd be better for me just to go out somewhere and lodge in some hut out in the wilderness as it would for me to stay here with this bunch of stiff-necked, idol-worshipping, sin-living crowd of people. Even though they're my people, they've run from God. They've turned their back on God. They don't want the old time way. They ain't listening to the trumpet when it sounds. Jeremiah said it'd be a whole lot better for me to go out there in the wilderness somewhere and just get along with me and God. I say unto us today, I sure am glad that God puts us in places where we can just get along with Him and God, aren't you? Amen. But anyway, I'm interested in verse number 2 when Jeremiah said, "Oh, that I had a place, or had in the wilderness, a lodging place of wayfaring men." Now, I'm convinced tonight that there's probably some wayfaring folks up in here on Friday night. Hey, the Bible plainly tells us that we're pilgrims and we're strangers in this world. This ain't our home, friend. Amen. And let me say that again on Friday night. You're not going to spend eternity here on this earth. Either by the way of the grave or by the way of the air, we're getting out of here and we're going to face eternity either in heaven or in hell. Amen. Say, "Preacher, we don't like hell." It don't make no difference if you like it or not. It's the truth. That's what your Bible says. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, in a place for wayfaring people. He said, "I wish I just had somewhere to go for the wayfaring people." Now tonight I'm going to preach my heart. And I'm just going to preach on a lodge. What would you like to find, or what would we like to have, if we was to go check into a lodge somewhere? And when I'm thinking about that lodge for the wayfaring person, I'll say this unto us tonight. After this service this evening, you'll never look at a hotel room the same. Every time from this night on when you step into a hotel room, I pray that this message resonates in your heart and your mind, and something will click. Amen? So a lodge is kind of much like an inn in the Bible, somewhere that you can go. And an inn, as we would know it, is like the Comfort Inn, Holiday Inn, all those other inns. A place to lodge, a place to stay, and a place that you can get away from a crazy bunch of people in Jeremiah 6, 7, and 8. So what would Jeremiah like to find if he is to walk up to a lodge somewhere for wayfaring men and women? What would he find if he was to walk up and say, "Sir, I need a room for one"? And when he walked into his room and shut the door behind him, what would he find, or what would Jeremiah in his lodge that you'll find in the average hotel room? Stay with me. Well, the first thing that I believe, oh, Jeremiah would see at the lodge for the wayfaring person, when he walked up to the... No, let me back up. That just come right there. First of all, there'd have to be a price paid. You'd have to get the old plastic out or get the cash out. You'd have to pay for that thing. Can I tell us something now? Let's just rejoice for just a minute. Can I tell you that your inn has been paid for by the price that was given at Calvary? Amen. Hallelujah. I sure am glad to know tonight that the penalty of sin, hallelujah, has already been paid. It don't cost you nothing. Amen. All you've got to do is realize you're a wayfaring traveler and you need to check into God's lodge tonight. Price has already been paid. Well, when the price gets paid and they give you the key to your room, you'll go down there and you'll realize something before you even get in the room. On average, there's only one way to get into a hotel room. And that's called a door. Jesus said over there in John 10:9, "I am the door. And he ain't going to come in no other way but by me." I got a newsflash for this world. You ain't going to get into heaven by no other way but knowing the door and getting in through him. Amen. There's only one way to get in that lodge or in your hotel room down for the wayfaring traveler. That's the door. And Jesus is that door. And I'll ask you something tonight. Have you been through the door? have you been through the door? Well, I like to just ask that question in another way. Has the door been through you? Amen. Has the door made a difference in you? And has the door ran through you one time? Amen. Well, when you get inside the door, once you get in, I feel the Holy Ghost right here. You watch this now. You keep this in your mind for a long, long time. Vacation times are coming. You remember this. When you walk in that room at the lodge and you turn around and you shut the door, you'll look on that door right there and there's one of them little doodads. I don't know what they called. It used to be a chain. But now it's just a little bar that just kind of does this number. You know what I'm talking about? A door extra lock, be it a chain or whether it be that bar that hooks over that little doodad. And then also, you've also got the option to reach down there on the door knob at the handle and click the deadbolt. And what I'm... Whoa, glory. I'd shout if I had a voice right there. What I'm thinking is that hotel has in mind your safety and your security. Once you get in there, you turn around, you shut that door, click that little dude over, chain that thing up, lock the deadbolt, and you can just rest a sigh of relief to know that you're in, you're safe, and you're secure. I bless His good name tonight to know that as a blood-bought child of God, we're safe, hallelujah, and we're secure in the arms of our Lord. Amen. They're looking out for your safety. Garrett, I'm going to have myself a spell right here, boys. When I think about that security and that safety, I think about that all-seeing eye. And I wonder, hey, this crowd right over here, this crowd right over yonder, Ethan and Dinah told us the other night, said they got hung up and didn't leave home until about 10 minutes late coming up here. Got behind eating supper at his mama's or something like that and got running behind 10 minutes late. And the way they come to church, Sammy, the very path that they come to church, they come up on an accident where one car hit another car, pushed it off in a hole, and the other both cars just total loss. And by their own testimony, they said if we'd have left on time, that might have been us. I hate it for those that had to wreck. But you know what that was? The Lord says, hey, y'all just hang on right here just a minute. I'm going to keep you safe. I'm going to keep you out of harm's way. Amen. I sure am thankful tonight for that unseen hand that guides us, that leads us, that guides us this way, holds things back that way, runs us this way instead of that way. I'm glad He watches out for our safety and our security. Amen. Glad we're safe. Safe and secure from all alarm, leaning on Jesus. Hallelujah! For that safety and that security in the Lord. Well, we're in. We're safe and we're secure. Now while we're going to look around, and let's find some more things in that room that'll help us. Most hotels, unless you ask for something different, you'll turn around and there's two beds. What's them two beds for? To rest on. Unless you just got a real bad way of sleeping, them beds ain't designed for this motion right here. They got an old hard chair over in the corner for you to sit on. But that bed is designed for you to lay down on and get some rest. Can I tell you what? There's a recorded over in the book of Matthew chapter number 11. Jesus says, come unto me all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. I'm glad there's not only safety, I'm glad there's not only security, but I'm glad there's rest in the lodge for the wayfaring traveler. Some of you give out physically, some of you give out spiritually, but I say this, aren't you glad that we got a place of rest that we can run to and get it
in the arms of our Lord. I'm thankful this evening for a place of rest. But I ain't done. But I'm in a hurry. There's some other things in there. And I know some of you preachers, I know how some of y'all are. You're sitting there writing before I even get there. You done got your own stop. This is mine. Sitting there on that bed and you take a look around. And sitting there, most hotels, unless you go to them fancy ones, and I don't do the fancy, can't afford fancy. But there's a table in between them two beds, and on that table, here's a telephone. What's that got to do with anything, preacher? Well, that telephone lets us call people. Most times when I go to a hotel, I ain't got nobody to call, because obviously if I'm in a hotel, I'm somewhere where I don't know nobody. In the generation we're living in now, we all got cell phones, and 9 times out of 10, I'd say them cell phones in them rooms normally don't even get picked up. Unless... stop. Unless you need to get a hold of them people down there at the front desk. Because when you walk out of that front desk room down there, they'll say, listen, if there's anything that you need while you're here, don't hesitate to let us know. I'm glad, hallelujah, when I got born again, the Lord said, listen, if there's ever anything you need, I want you to know I'm here for you. I'm glad, hallelujah, you can pick that phone up and say, listen, this ain't working right in this room. Pick up the phone and say, listen, I forgot my shaving lotion. Do you have any down there? I ain't got a comb. I ain't got a toothbrush. Hallelujah. I'm glad to know, hey man, that whatever your need is, no matter how great it is, no matter how small it is, there's a God in heaven that wants to meet your need here on this Friday night. There was times I can look back in my life, Brother Sammy, staying in hotels. This is before cell phones. You'd open that drawer there, maybe sitting under the phone would be a phone book, or they'd have little things sitting up in there, and you'd want to run me one small rabbit right here, one small one. In the Ponder household, this is so minute and so it don't make much difference probably to y'all. You'll probably look at us crazy if you ain't already, but I'm just going to tell you what our family, what we like to, what we thrive on. It used to be getting in hotels and jumping from bed to bed. But if you notice how big our boys are, not a good idea. They'd probably have a concussion and we'd have holes in the ceiling. But I'm telling you what one thing, even to this very day, what my wife loves to do, and looking back in life, Mama, I only know when the last time we got to do it is. Like to just go to a hotel and call and order pizza and sit in a hotel room and eat pizza. I mean, at home you don't get to eat pizza on the bed. But when you go to a hotel, you can hey, look up in here at me, listen to me. There ain't many times at the house you get to eat pizza and throw the box over in the corner for somebody else. Well, some of you probably do. But at our house, no, sir. Amen? Amen. So what I'm trying to say is that phone was there. You could call and order you something to eat. Lord, we're hungry down here. I know we're living over our Amos' day, and there's a famine for the hearing of the Word of God. But Lord, I'm starving to death down here. Amen. It might be time for some of us tonight, as we've stopped here at God's Lodge for the wayfaring people, to get to the phone and make a phone call. Say, Lord, everything I've had up until now, I've done ate it up, I've done chewed it up, I've done it run through my system. Lord, I need to be fed. Lord, I'm getting hungry. I'm getting weak in this Jeremiah, in this land of liars, in this land of idolatry, in the land of deceivers, Lord, everybody else has gone crazy. And before I go crazy, Lord, I'm hungry. Will you feed me? And I'm sure I'm glad to know, just like Domino's. Or let me say, unlike Domino's. Domino says we'll be there in 45 minutes. But when you make a phone call to the throne room of God and place your order, honey, it's already cooked and ready to start serving. All you've got to do is say, I need mine. Amen. Well, yes. I got to go. There's a phone there. And in that drawer, down there at the Holiday Inn or the Best Western or whatever, thanks to the Gideons, you should find a Bible in there.
Amen.
Amen. And I've been in some hotels, brother, down through the years, and normally when I go somewhere, I'm either on vacation or I'm preaching a meeting somewhere, and I've got a Bible, but there's been times I've got that Bible out just because I learned something one time, Timothy. One time I opened the Bible up, one of them Gideon Bibles, and in the back of it back here, somebody had sat there and wrote an awesome testimony. Wrote an awesome testimony right there of how the Lord's blessed them, and whoever picks this Bible up, turn to such and such scripture and turn to this scripture. It'll help you. And if you're going through this, read this. And I thought, man, that's plumb awesome. And from that day on, it seems like every time we go to a hotel, I want to open that drawer up and get that Bible out. And see if anybody else has left somebody a friendly message. Lord ain't impressed upon me to do that yet, but maybe one of these days you will. But what I'm trying to say is that hotel, working with the Gideons International, says, yeah, go ahead and bring them Bibles in here. They might be somebody needs it. Can I say to us wayfaring travelers here on Friday night that checked into the Heavenly Lodge, when the brother can't help you, when the sister can't help you, when the church ain't giving you what you need, don't give up on the precious Word of God. I've said it once, Brother Samuel. I've said 100 more times, I'm sure, in my life. Every answer to your problem could be found in the Word of God. But unless you don't open it, or unless you open it, you'll not find the help that you need. Amen. So I'm glad for the Bible. Amen. I thank God for the Bible. I'm going to get out of here and try to hurry. What else are we going to find in that room? Well, most hotels, I've noticed this for years, when you're sitting there on them beds looking up at the television, usually to the right or to the left of those televisions in most hotel rooms, there's a monstrous mirror. A great big mirror. Even though there's one over at the sink, but there's still one right there. You know what I found myself doing when I stand in front of them mirrors? Looking at me. I've never stood in front of a mirror and seen anybody else. That mirror is hanging on the wall in that lodge or that hotel for you to examine yourself. I've never stood in front of a mirror in a hotel room and looked beyond me and looked at the reflection of somebody behind me and said, hey, you need to work on your shoes. Kim, your hair don't look good. Boys, you need to tuck your shirts in. Hannah, whatever. Sorry, Hannah. But you never look in that mirror to find somebody else's faults. The mirrors are there for self-examination. I believe old Paul told that crowd over there in Corinth, over I believe it's the first or second book of the Corinthians, he said, examine yourselves. And I want to stop right here at God's lodge for the wayfaring pilgrims tonight. We've got enough going on in this world. We've got enough nitpicking going on and finding everybody else's faults. Why don't we make up our mind tonight, Abraham and the others is here, that we're going to stop worrying about what everybody else is doing and examine me and see what's going on in my life before I turn into one of them reprobates like Paul said. It's so easy. It is so easy to sit and point out somebody what somebody else is doing wrong. Maple Springs, I'm sorry if you have to hear it, but I've said it buku times down here. I'm going to sit up here. You got enough going on in your little bubble to jump outside your bubble and go over here and tell somebody else what they're doing wrong. Amen. I might as well say this up here since I've said it down yonder. You know why I believe a lot of people get wrapped up in that pointing about everybody else's faults? Is they're trying to get attention off of them. I want to show everybody else what they're doing wrong, and maybe nobody will look at mine. Let me just tell you this right here. If you're watching somebody else, chances are somebody's watching you. Amen. That great big mirror in that lodge, in God's heavenly lodge for the wayfarer and travelers, I've called that thing many different things tonight, ain't I? But there's a great big mirror there, and I believe every last one of us needs to step in front of it and say, okay, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Examine me. If there's any fault in me, that's what David said. Search me, O Lord. Know my heart. Lord, if there's any wicked in me, if there's anything wrong with me, God, show it to me right now. Let me see it, Lord. Show it to me. Lord, it ain't my wife standing here in front of you right now. Lord, it ain't my preacher. It ain't my youngins. It ain't my neighbor. It ain't my brothers and sisters. Lord, it's me here in front of you. I'm here to examine me. I'll say this tonight. I'm as guilty as the next dude is when it comes time to getting ready to go somewhere. I mean, maybe not dude, maybe dudettes as well. When it comes time to go to church, if we'd spend as much time getting this inside ready as we do concentrating on the outside, we may see a whole lot more done in our lives. Because I tell you what we get guilty of, we try to dress up the outside and make the outside look like something that the inside's not. Amen? I've said it many times. I'll say it one more time. A lot of times, y'all listening to me, Maple Springs, hang in there. Pleasant Grove, hang in there. A lot of times we'll roll up into church, brethren. Let's be honest. We've talked about this before, Brother Sammy. We're everyone liars to a certain extent. Walk into church smiling. Somebody walk up to you and say, hey, how you doing? You'll say, oh, doing pretty good. But you know in your heart you're lying to them because you know what's going on in here. You know that the family just had a falling out in the car, had a falling out at the house. You screamed at young'uns, you fussed at her, and you fussed at him, and it's just been a war ever since you got out of bed on Sunday morning. But walking to church, I praise his holy name. I believe we ought to step up in front of the mirror and do a little examinating. Amen? Quit trying to make the inside look like the outside. Amen? Can't help to believe it. Right here on this Friday night, there's wars and turmoil and battles are raging right here. And we need to step up in front of that mirror and say, Lord, here I am. Check me out. Oh, Lord. That just happened right there, Brother Shoemate. I ain't never been in a hotel. I went over there and stood in front of that mirror as I was getting ready to go to bed to make sure I looked good when I went to bed. Never. You try to look presentable when you look in that mirror because you're fixed to go out that door into the public eye. So we need to start getting some work done and say, look, Lord, am I ready to be presented to the world? Is my Christian life a life that's pleasing unto you that I can face this world and they can see Christ in me? Amen. Lost person. Ooh, thought I was going to forget you. No. If you're to stand in front of God's examination mirror tonight in God's lodge for the wayfarer and traveler, and we're to let you walk up and look in front of that mirror and say, all right, Lord, examine me.
First thing the Lord would say to you, lost person, is, I'm sorry, I don't know you. You're not one of mine. Woo! Which brings me to the next thing we'll find in that little lodge. In there in that little room past that vanity over there, you'd find a bathtub. You'd find a place that whatever you've done before, God help, whatever you've done on the outside of that lodge, whether you've worked hard or whether you rode for 19 hours, whatever you've done when playing ball or whatever you've done out yonder outside that door, you've done got in. Now you're heading over there to the washing spot, and whatever grime and whatever filth you've got on you, you can step in there and rest assured that it's coming off. But you say, preacher, that just come right there. What if I was to step in the Holiday Inn or the Comfort Inn and I ain't got no soap? Good news for you. They provide you some. Amen. Preacher, how am I going to get cleaned up as a lost person? I'm talking about a little bit of red blood that can wash your soul as white as snow. It's done been provided for you. All you've got to do is be willing to step in and get cleaned up. Amen. I thank the Lord for a place to get cleaned up. I'm glad for... Let me just give you something right here, can I? Believe it will. I want to look right here just real close to Isaiah chapter number 1. Isaiah chapter number 1. I want to read this to you. I'm going to hurry. Amen. Isaiah chapter number 1 and verse number 16. Isaiah 1 verse 16. The Bible says, wash you, make you clean. Don't worry about somebody else's filth. It doesn't went down that trail. Remember that? Yeah. But the Bible says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. Amen. The Lord says you need to take a bath. Oh, my goodness. You can't go into Holiday Inn or the Hampton Inn or the whatever inn, the who do drop in, whatever, you can't go over there and pick that phone up and say, hey, front desk, y'all told me if there's anything I needed, I called to ask and y'all to help me out the best way you could. Well, I'm give out and I'm too tired to take a bath. Can you send somebody up here? You ain't 2 years old. Amen? But, buddy, God help right there. I felt that. I sure am glad to know tonight that you can pick up a direct line to glory. White, by the way, you can pick up a direct line to glory and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm give out. I'm just absolutely whooped to the things of this world. I need some help getting cleaned up. I'm glad he can come by, because let me tell you something. You can't get cleaned up on your own. Amen. It takes him. Bible tells us we've got to work out our own salvation. That don't mean get saved on your own. There's got to be a draw, and there's got to be a conviction. Amen? There's got to be a draw from the Holy Ghost to God. I've seen too many. I've heard preachers say this, Brother Brady. I'm going to be one of them to say it. I ain't never got to say it. But I've seen too many people come to the altar smiling, looking around, and like, here I come, I'm going to get saved. And they get up, and they ain't got no remorse, ain't got no brokenness about them. They get up, here I am, look at me. I'm saved, everybody. You ain't a bit more saved than a man on the moon. There's got to be a Holy Ghost drawing, and I can't help but think tonight I'm still convinced that there's lost people under the sound of my voice tonight, and the Holy Ghost of God is making His way through the lodge of the wayfaring traveler and pulling your soul out, and you're going to die and go to hell if you don't know the Lord as your Savior. Thank God for a wash tub. Thank God for a washing place to get cleaned up. And I'll say this tonight. That washing place in the lodge for the wayfaring traveler ain't just for the lost folk. Amen. It's been a long week. A lot of you's worked. A lot of you's went to school. There's things that's entered your ears and it's entered your mind. There's things that has crossed your hands that you know has defiled you.
made you filthy, made you dirty. You've thought things, you've looked at things, you've heard things, and you've just been around things that just makes you feel dirty. Maybe your mouth overloaded your brain, and some of us said something that we shouldn't have said. Amen. Maybe you went somewhere, bought something that you shouldn't have bought, like a lottery ticket. I still think it's a sin. Amen. Amen. Well, anyhow, I'll say this to you. Say, preacher, am I hopeless? Am I doomed because I've sinned on God? No. He's got a place for you to get cleaned up. He's got a place that you can get washed up and get clean again. Amen. Every last one of us is nothing but a sinner saved by God's grace. And we, every one, come short and we fail God every single day that we live. I'm going to go. Now, I need to ask you. I need to ask everybody in here, if you've got a Bible in your hand, turn it to the book of Deuteronomy. Turn it to the book of Deuteronomy. Because right here, here's a place that I'm not scared to go, but I just want you to see what Bible says. Deuteronomy chapter number 23. Deuteronomy chapter number 23. And when you find Deuteronomy chapter number 23, I'm going to read you three verses of Scripture, and I'm going to elaborate on what else is in our hotel room. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 12. Thou shalt have a place also without the camp, whither thou shalt go forth abroad. Verse 13, is everybody with me? And thou shalt have a paddle upon thy weapon, and it shall be when thou wilt ease thyself abroad. And if you need to understand what that means if you have to go to the bathroom. If you have to go to the bathroom, thou shalt dig therewith a hole with that little tool there, paddle, and shalt turn back and cover that which cometh from thee. Preacher, you really going to go there? Yeah. One more verse of Scripture. Look at verse 14. For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee, and to give up thine enemies before thee. So since the Lord is walking up and down the camp, he's going to deliver you from enemies, here's what you need to know. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee, and turn from thee. We're all human beings, we're none of us animals. They didn't have the luxuries of indoor plumbing like we do today. So the Bible tells us that they said, listen, if you're going to have to use the bathroom, go outside the camp, dig a hole, and do your business, cover it up, and head on about your business. It's the Bible. I said, preacher, that ain't what that means. Yes, it is too. You go over to the book of Nehemiah and you tell me if that ain't what that means in Nehemiah around Jerusalem, tell me what the dung gate was for. That was a gate that they used when they got a little bit more modern to use to haul out the waste out of Jerusalem because you didn't want that junk laying around in there where you're trying to live. So inside of God's heavenly lodging place for the wayfaring traveler, right next to that hotel shower and bathtub, there sits a commode. And the reason that thing is there is to get rid of the junk in your life that does not need to be there. I'll say that one more time and we'll not use a commode. I believe there's some of us in this church tonight, you got a whole lot of junk stored away in your heart. You got a whole lot of junk going on at the house. You got a lot of junk going on at work. And you need to get to the place tonight and get rid of it. We wonder so many times why our families are hurting, why our churches are hurting, why our state's hurting, why the country's hurting. It's because we like to live in junk. We like the junk. Did you ever think in your life, at all that you'd ever see the day where a state, much less ours, would be more involved in ball games and making money on those games and tournaments and things of that nature, they're more interested in that than they are the safety of our wives and our little girls. Don't get me started. But that's junk. That's junk. Amen. While we sit back in our nice little padded pews in our average churches and says, well, as long as everything's all right here, let the world do what they want to do. We're just going to keep on plugging along right here as long as everything's all right. Can I say this? Everything ain't all right if that's the mentality that we've got, that whatever happens is going to happen. We can't do nothing about it anyhow. That's why we're in the mess we're in. Some of us need to use God's heavenly lodge for the wayfarer and traveler tonight to get rid of some junk. Anything in your life that you don't want. Because the Bible says the Lord, there in Deuteronomy, the Bible says, well, the Lord, He's going to come by, He's going to walk in our midst. He's going to walk in the midst of the camp to deliver thee. So if the Lord is to start walking around in our midst tonight, I wonder how much junk He'd find. I'm getting out of here. Now think about, I guess I watch too much TV. Take some kind of big old machine, Ethan, and put each one of us in front of it. Holy Ghost junk examinating machine. If it's to hold it up in front of each one of our lives, would we be willing to say, that's okay, go ahead and show the world what's going on in my life. I'm all right with it. Run me through that junk examinating machine right there. I ain't got no junk in my life. Better be careful. Better be careful. Everyone probably got some junk that we don't want. Why does anybody go to the landfill? To get rid of junk. Did I not just tell you a while ago that the Lord Jesus Himself said, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. Give it to me. You don't have to carry that junk around. Amen. So I say tonight, well, if the Lord was going to walk around in the midst of us, I hope that our camp would be holy and He'd find us not so much looking like a bunch of hoarders and just holding on to junk. Now, throw this out there. You catch this, and if you don't want it, you can throw it to the person behind you. You know what a lot of our problem is? Y'all listening to me? I don't care where you're from. I don't care what you're thinking, your thinking is. But you know what? If we'd everyone be honest, you know what the biggest junk thing that we hold on to is the past. We like to hold on to what happened back yonder. We like to hold on to what happened yesterday. Well, she done me wrong. He done me wrong. I'll never forget that. That's junk. Amen? Well, preacher, you don't know. You don't know what he done. You don't know what that family done to my family. It's all right. Look up into heaven. Did he do it to you? He crossed me, preacher. They done this and they done that. It don't matter. God ain't ever done that to you. And I'm going to say this, and I'll run along too right here. Since it's my last night, I'm just going to go ahead and throw this out here to you. Y'all listen to me. God's been too good to you. God's been too good to me. I remember two nights this week, Mr. Drusilla got in another world and just started thanking God for everything. Family and church. And that's, man, we ought to be thankful. There's some of that stuff we hang on to. And it don't do nothing but rob us of the future by not letting go of the past. Amen? There's some of us tonight need to get rid of some junk. Get rid. Oh, listen to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. I'm almost done. Unless it was very valuable to somebody, and I've heard stories about this, and I don't know if it's true or not. It's just you hear and read things. And if every one of us is to go to the landfill, take a trailer load or a truck load of stuff and just chunk that stuff out there and chunk that out there, and you get driving down the road, I don't think there's never been every one of us thought, you know what, I wish I hadn't thrown that flat tar away. That tar that I blowed out 3 days ago, and it ain't no good for nothing. I shouldn't have thrown it. I could probably found some use for that. Ain't not one of us turned our car around and went back. Ain't God help. Ain't none of us has ever took our garbage to the dump, throwed it in the dumpster, and think, oh no, I think I might have thrown a spoon away and I throwed something away. I better go back and dig into that garbage and find that spoon. Once it gets out of your hands and gets put into the dumps, it's over. Quit crawling back in the landfill and trying to find, oh, God help right here. Because I'm going to tell you something, what's going to happen, you get in the landfill and start digging around for your spiritual stuff that you dropped off and said, Lord, I'm done with this. You know what you're going to find? You're going to find a whole lot of your stuff and somebody else's stuff.
Would that God quit live? Ah, Lord, quit dwelling at the landfill. So while I'm on the landfill, and this is my last night, can I run me one more little rabbit? When I was in the Navy, I was stationed down in Panama, down on the Panama Canal. And I only got one more little hotel thing, so y'all can just hang in there. And when I got down there to Panama and got hooked up with my detachment, I went to school to be a plumber. But when I got to Saudi Arabia, in the middle of the desert, there ain't no need for a plumber. So during the first Gulf War over there, they didn't need plumbing going on, but I got diesel fumes in my blood. And what they did need on camp was somebody to drive a water truck down to the pier where they was making fresh potable water and bring it back to the camp so everybody on our little camp, our base, could have water, take showers in, cook in, do laundry in. Well, I got that diesel fuel in my blood, and I didn't do a whole lot more plumbing. I just become a truck driver. In the Navy, and was a truck driver the rest of my life. Still love the smell of diesel fuel. Not in them Dodge pickups. It blows smoke. I don't like it. I'm talking about sitting in a truck with 18 right here. That kind of diesel. That's what I'm thinking, Reggie. Help me right there. Anyhow, I'm losing some of you. Stay, hang in there. When I got to Panama, this is my last detachment as I was getting ready to get out of the Navy. I get down there to Panama. And still there was no plumbing to be going on. What we was doing some demolition. We was going to tear some buildings out. We was going to be there for 6 months. And for the next 6 months, we got to get everything tore down because behind us is another debt coming in, and they're going to rebuild. So I become a dump truck driver in Panama. First day on the job, we loaded that truck full of stuff, loaded that stuff, that truck plumb full of junk. We didn't need it no more. And the company chief came to it and said, Ponder, listen. He gave me a little detailed map. We had to get off. That'll help you right there. We had to get off of our camp to get rid of the junk. That's Bible. We didn't take it over in front of the barracks and dump it. No, we got it out of camp. We didn't have to look at it no more. But the chief told me, he said, listen, Ponder, when you get out there to the dump, you're going to make this particular left turn on the road where the dump is. I'm going to tell you something right now. This is the truth I'm telling y'all. He said, as soon as you make that left turn on that dump, he said, whatever the cost, don't stop. When you make that left turn heading up to the dump where the landfill is, do not stop at any cost. Well, by then, everything in the world's going through my mind thinking what in the name of the Lord's going to be going on that road. Well, I made that turn, got it in the right gear, and up the hill I went. And the closer I got to the dump, the more I found they was natives of Panama, and I say natives, them people that was there. No shoes, shorts on, no shirt, had looked like they hadn't had baths all their life. And I kid you not, I want to tell y'all right here, while I got your attention, all eyes right here at me, I kid you not, the first time I went to that dump, I didn't stop, but I'm riding up that hill heading to the dump, and all here they come from both sides of the road, Sammy. Them little old dark-skinned fellers from Panama coming out of the woods trying their best to leap up on the truck to get my junk out of that truck. They wanted what I had on that truck because then I started looking beyond where the people was coming from, little old huts built up there, and they was just trying their best to get something to keep their hut up there in the woods. And I'll never forget it as long as I live. And I ain't told a whole lot of many people this right here. This is the truth I'm telling y'all. The first day of that dump, I hit them up through there. People are coming out all over the coming out of the woods and jumping up on a truck. And I saw a fella jump up on that truck, tried to grab a hold of the bed of that dump truck like this, and with the one foot here, and he slipped and he fell. And I'll go to my grave believing that I ran over his legs. And you're thinking, didn't you stop and help him? No, because I was told not to stop. Because if I'd have stopped and maybe helped him, y'all probably wouldn't be looking at me tonight. Amen? But when I got up out of the landfill, when I got up out, God help, I feel the Holy Ghost of God. This is feeling pretty good. I'm about done, Harold. Amen. When I got up out of the landfill, there was the policeman and military of somebody of the country of Panama with these guns like I have never seen in my life. Clips on them that long, barrels on them this long, looked like it was that big around, walking around with a strap on their shoulder.
And they'd watch us. They'd wave me back in there, dump it right there. And they'd walk around. And all I'm dumping that dump bed of that junk out there, I look up there on the ridge around where I was at, and there sits all kinds of little eyes looking at us trying to see what I'm dumping out. You know what the military was and the police was doing there? While they was there, they're saying, this junk is junk. You stay where you're at. And while you're here dumping, God help, while, sir, Mr. Ponder, while you're here dumping this trash, don't you know you're safe? Get rid of this trash and get on out of here. Can I say this? The Holy Ghost of God's walking around trying his best to keep the vultures out of here, and he wants you to know that you're safe. As long as you're wanting to dump your trash right here, he's going to keep the enemy off of you, and the enemy wants you to take that junk home with you and remind you of the junk you dumped. Say tonight, I'm done. There needs to be some junk getting out of here. There needs to be some examining going on. There's an alarm clock, too, that I didn't get on, but there's an alarm clock in that room. And that alarm clock's there to remind you it's time to wake up. There's some things we need to wake up to tonight, waking up that our children's hurting, our churches are hurting, country's suffering. We need to wake up. Amen. Brett, if you don't care, come to the piano, because I'm going to show you one more thing right here, and I'm done. Made me a journey today. Over there at the Hampton Inn, in Jonesville, they have these little things. And that goes in the slot where your key goes. And when it gets in there, whoever walks up to that door, it says, please do not disturb. I'm in there, and I want to be left alone. Don't bother me. I made me a journey to the Days Inn in Jonesville, and they gave me one of these. You hang that on the doorknob of your door, and it too says, do not disturb. Five different languages to let anybody, whatever you may read, leave me alone. I'm fine. I don't want to be bothered. I ease on across the hill and I go to the Comfort Inn in Jonesville. It says, do not disturb. Leave me alone. I'm fine. I'm resting. Leave me alone. Then I go over to the Best Western. And this is for those folks that has hard times reading. You might not be able to see it, but on this side, this is the one I was looking for, Sammy. This was the one. Last stop, I found what I was looking for. This side has got a set of lips right there. And a hand that looks like this. Another word saying, shh, leave me alone, don't disturb me. But on this side, got a little woman with a maid suit on. In her hand, she's got a little brush in her hand. And beside of her, there's a vacuum. One side says, leave me alone. The other side says, I need some service. I need some help. Something's dirty. Bed needs made. Need some new towels, need new ice bucket, I need some help. And I look all the way across this building from Brother Shoemate all the way around, right back up there to Brett Graham on the piano, and even myself included. I see every one of us with one of these little things hanging on us, either saying, leave me alone, don't disturb me, I'm just fine. But as I look around, I see a lot of gold because I see people hurting. Got some folks who needs to step up to the examinating mirror. Need some folks to get over there to the cleaning tub. Need some folks to get over there to the dumping spot to get rid of some junk. Need the folks to some folks to fall back in love with that Bible. Got help right here. Got some folks back over there at that door Remember when we walked in, the very first thing, we walked in, shut the door, put them double locks on there? Might be some of you here tonight that ain't got both locks locked, and the enemy's about to bust your door down and come in and take you. Take your joy, take your happiness, take your tears. You don't feel as safe and secure as you used to. But I say tonight, on Friday night, some of us need to come clean and say, Lord, I need some help. I got some things I need to get cleaned up tonight. Lord, I've got some things I need to get addressed. I need to get to that telephone and make a phone call and get some help headed my way as we stand all over the church. Father in heaven, I love you. How I thank you now. I bless you and I praise you for being so good to us. Lord, I don't know what you got in store for us here tonight from this moment on, but I'm asking you, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, would you move in our midst tonight? Speak to hearts and do as only you're able to do. And we'll certainly bless you. We'll praise you in advance, sir, for it. Heads are still bowed and eyes are closed. Folks are coming from all over the church already to get to the altar. You know how it works, friend. God spoke to your heart. Get to moving.